Today on Impact for Living, founder, sports and business leader, and pastor Scott Whitaker will challenge you to reach your God-given potential and impact, which you were created to have with and for Jesus Christ in the world. Now, here's Scott with today's message.
This morning, I want to read from Isaiah chapter 9, verses 2 and 6. Isaiah says this, "The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shone. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder. And his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." You know, we're so close, and we know it, don't we? Don't we? I mean, you can feel it in everything that's going on around us. My granddaughters can feel it. Family, friends, and shoppers in the malls and everywhere can feel it. My bride senses it as she decorates and brings out the Christmas china for us to use during this special season. Christmas decorations are going up in neighborhoods everywhere you look and as far as one can imagine, all around the world. Christmas. We're so close. You feel as though you could almost throw a rock at it and hit the stable where he was to be born. That's how close we are to Christmas. That's how close we are to that day, to that celebration, once again, of the birth of the one that life is all about and should be all about. But will we hit it? We're so close to the birth of the one we set our calendars by, the one who James Allen Francis wrote a poem about nearly 100 years ago entitled A Solitary Life, a poem which reminded us that he was born in an obscure village, a child raised by a peasant girl and carpenter. He grew up in another village where he worked in a carpenter shop until he was 30. Then for 3 years, he was an itinerant preacher, the one who never went to college or to seminary, never wrote a book or owned a home. He never lived in a big city or traveled any farther than 200 miles from his birthplace in Bethlehem. He did none of the things that usually accompany greatness. He had no credentials but himself. He was only 33 when the tide of public opinion turned against him. His friends ran away. One of them denied him in public. He was turned over to his enemies and went through the mockery of a trial. He was nailed to a cross between two thieves and left hanging there to die. And while he was dying, his executioners gambled at his feet for his garments, the only property he had on earth. When he was dead, he was laid in a borrowed grave through the pity of a friend. He had no trophies to put on a table, no resumes or awards to frame and put on the wall. All the shakers and movers of any society throughout any time in history probably wouldn't have taken his phone call. He had no credentials. He just seemed to live an obscure life by any societal measure of influence and image. Yet, 20 centuries have come and gone, and today he is the one who is the central figure of the human race. And we are well within the bounds of truth to say that all the armies that ever marched, all the navies that ever sailed, all the parliaments that ever sat, all the kings that ever reigned, put together, have not affected the life of humanity on this earth as much as that one solitary life. Great poem. And I love that scripture passage that we read from Isaiah as we began this morning. Isaiah starts by reminding them of where they have been, the people who walked in darkness. And then he tells them what was happening. They will see a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of deep darkness, on them a light has shone. But think about that for a moment. The people of the day, 700 years before the birth which Isaiah was prophesying about, they must have thought Isaiah to be crazy, absolutely crazy once again. And yet here we go again, preparing to celebrate that birth Isaiah was talking about 700 years before it occurred. The birth of the one who has made all the difference and so many lives throughout the centuries, including mine, and I would suspect yours. And the timing couldn't be better. We're so close. Yet for some of us, we're still so far away. The struggles of the day are real. We're falling short of the expectancies that are placed on us, or which we place on our lives. The uncertainty of tomorrow overwhelms us and shuts out the peace that we need today. Finances are running short. Professional disappointments, personal struggles, strained relationships, and emptiness mark too many moments of our lives. Memories of past Christmases that never were or weren't what they should have been begin to creep in. Despair, depression, and hopelessness follow those memories. Something needs to change. Maybe divine intervention, maybe even a Christmas miracle that we hear about, if there is such a thing. Maybe we need to remember the meaning of Emmanuel. God is with us. Can we get to a place, maybe, hopefully, that no matter what was, what is, or what we think might be, we feel and we embrace the truth that God is with us. We embrace Emmanuel. Can we get there? It's time for us to draw close to him, close to the one who has changed the world and who changes lives in an instant, close to the one who restores the discouraged, the disenchanted, the despairing, depressed, and defeated lives, maybe even us at times, all those lives who are walking in our midst. Time to have them restored to lives of wholeness and impact and hope. Once again, we're so close. But then the busyness of preparation for the season hits, and buying gifts, getting the house and office decorated for the season, finding just the right Christmas tree again, Christmas parties, and so many other things, all good, but exhausting distractions keeping us from where we need to be headed. We're so close, yet at times we feel so far away, feeling like we have to do something. We have to achieve something. We certainly are not worthy. Feeling like we don't deserve it. We haven't earned it. Can this moment that everybody's talking about and seem to be headed toward, can this moment really be for me and for you? Clearly the timing couldn't be better to be reminded, could it? To be reminded once again of that day over 2,000 years ago, when God set two tiny feet among us in an obscure stable in a place most of us will never see. And he did it for you and for me. The moment that a tiny baby was born in a hay-filled manger in a cold, dark stable behind an inn in the little town of Bethlehem. For you, for me, and for all the world. It was the night that a light came into the world that all the darkness of the world could not and would not ever be able to overcome. It really, really happened. And we're so close. People throughout history have tried to disprove it, only to end up in the lines of people believing in what God did for us with the birth of that tiny baby on that life-changing morning so long ago. And ever since that divine birth, all the tyrants down through the centuries have tried to extinguish, to snuff out that one true light. But they've never been able to do it, and they never will. It's a light that shines in the darkness, as Isaiah forecast. And all the darkness of man's evil throughout history has not and will not overcome it. It's a light that goes on shining in the darkness for you and for me. Pretty amazing. Pretty amazing. And we're so close to the celebration of that moment once again for you and for me. I wonder if we'll see it in the midst of all the other stuff and distractions, all the glitter and glamour of Christmas. I wonder if we will be able to sense once again the life-changing majesty of the birth of Christ, God's own son. I hope so. I think so. I believe it will happen. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder. The babe of Bethlehem, Emmanuel, God with us, for you, for me. We're so close, we can almost throw a rock at it, and I wonder if we'll hit it. I wonder if we'll see it, the manger and the baby who is there. My friends, we need to, because our lives here and for all eternity depend upon it. And when we do, maybe for some of us for the very first time, or for others of us and the rest of us, perhaps once again, afresh and anew, it will make all the difference in our lives and in the lives we impact in the world around us. For today, tomorrow, and forever and ever and ever, the babe of Bethlehem, for you and for me. Let me pray for us. Father, I thank you. Thank you for this time just to stop, to pause, to remember, as we're so close to the celebration afresh and anew of what you did for us over 2,000 years ago, sending your son to lay in a hay-filled manger in a dirty stable for us because you loved us. Help us in the midst of all the memories, the difficulties of the past, what's happening at the moment and what we're anxious about in the future. Help us to embrace Emmanuel. Help us to remember in the midst of all of that, God is with us. You are with us always. That's the message that you sent by sending your son, that you are with us, that you love us, that you will walk with us through this day and all the days to come, helping us to become all that you created us to be and having an impact in the world that you intend for us to have. Thanks for loving us. Thanks for your son. And it's in his precious name we pray, Emmanuel, God with us. Amen and amen.
We hope that Scott's message today has challenged and encouraged you. Thank you for being with us, and be sure to join Scott and Impact for Living next week for another faith-filled message focused on God's plan and purpose for your life.